Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. You can now join us for live streaming on YouTube, Vimeo, or Facebook. Our worship services start at 10:45 on Sundays. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled, Hoax or Hope? From 1 Corinthians 13.
Let's listen for God's word for us today out of 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. I'll be reading from the Message. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others. And one more time. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Beautiful words, yes? These are the kind of words that we put on posters. These are the kind of words that we embroider on our pillowcases. We put them on our coffee mugs. We put them on our t-shirts. We like to see them in our living rooms. Have we tried to live them? Because when you try to live this stuff, you understand that this is tough. And it never gets tougher than in this particular passage, where love cares more for others than itself. Again, it sounds wonderful, but have you tried to live it? This series is called Tough Love, and it's looking at the kind of love that's in 1 Corinthians 13. It is tough love. The Greek word is agape. It is the self-sacrificing love. Whatever word you use, it sounds good, but boy, is it hard to live. And that's why I'm talking about taking a fresh look at an old favorite in a new season. Because this is the season where we need to ask ourselves, how does this really apply? Because it is one thing to say, yes, this works. I give to you, and then you give back to me, and it's a win-win. Or I sacrifice for you, and then you sacrifice back for me. And again, it's a win-win. Everybody wins. This is good. I scratch your back, you stab me in the back. Wait, what? I make myself vulnerable and you take advantage of me and you don't give anything back? You see, it's one thing when it's on a poster. It's another thing when it's right here in front of you and you're beginning to wonder, how do I do this? Or should I even be trying? How do I live a life? And is it even practical? Is it even good to be trying to practice self-denial in an age that is specializes in self-promotion and self-assertion? Seeking after self is the national pastime. Is it even desirable for something like this? Is it desirable? Because am I the only person who gets bugged when I'm standing in line and someone cuts in front of me? Am I the only one who bristles when I go out and I'm trying to do social distancing and I'm wearing a mask because I'm trying to be careful for others, and I see others who aren't doing the same and in fact seem to be willfully and gleefully violating the same? Doesn't something in you get a little upset? When I try to pick up after my dog and go out in the morning onto my front lawn and see that someone else has not? is the first thing that comes to my mind, well, I should care more for others than for myself. Is this even practical? Is it practical if you get hit and your car is dented and the person comes and says, look, please don't report this. I don't have the money, but it'll raise my insurance rates or I'll get in trouble. Is the first thing you think about, well, maybe I shouldn't because I'm just thinking of myself. I should be thinking about the well-being of somebody else or if somebody asks you for money. And isn't there a part when someone asks you for money, if they really need this, am I just being played? Should I even be asking this question? Should I even care? Does it really matter? If my first impulse is to sacrifice myself for others, if I'm supposed to care less for myself than for others, shouldn't I just give the money there? It may look good on a pillowcase, but this idea of self-sacrificing love doesn't always work at work when someone else is taking credit for your work. Then what? Is this even good? I want you to think of all the times in history when people have been oppressed and held down with the sentiment that is in this passage, that you shouldn't be thinking about yourself, you shouldn't be caring about your own rights, you should only be caring about everybody else. Think of all the damage that has been done to people of color, to women, to workers. Think of the damage that has been done to the poor and to foreigners and the people who are on the outskirts, the very people that Jesus tells us we're supposed to be caring about. And yet, how many times has the message from the church been, you just need to be quiet. Don't be asking about yourself. That's not spiritual. You're not supposed to be caring about how this affects you. You're supposed to be caring about how this affects everybody else. You shouldn't be caring about your rights. You should be thinking about your responsibilities. Think of all the damage that has been done in God's name when someone has lived with an abuser. And rather than finding refuge and solace in the community of faith, what they have found is this stern warning about don't be thinking about yourself. Think about the peace of the family. Think about the community. Think about everybody else. Just keep it down. You're just being selfish. Because, you know, love cares more for others than for self. And so it begs the question, is this self-sacrificing love really a virtue? Or is it a con? Is this tough love, this love that goes beyond itself, is it really the best hope for the world, or is it just a big hoax that keeps comfortable people comfortable, that keeps powerful people powerful? That's what I mean by taking a fresh look at an old favorite in a new season. It seems to me these are the questions of our time. These are the questions that are being asked of us. And so here's where I want to start. I want to first start by saying, of course, there are times that we have to look out after ourselves. We have to do that. That old thing about make sure you put the oxygen mask on yourself before you start to take care of others, there's something to that. We really do want to take care of others. It is necessary. And then it has to do with this, I believe, this difference between means and ends. When I make everybody else around me a means to my own end, when I make my own self-protection and my own comfort and my own security and an end in itself, now I've violated something. Eric Fromm, the writer of the book, The Art of Loving, was spot on when he talked about that the biggest obstacle to love is narcissism. It is me being in the center. It is seeing everything and experiencing everyone as how it is that they affect me. When everything revolves around me and people become means and everything else becomes a means, then these words are powerful. Listen, you got to get out of the center. If you want to be about what God is doing in this world, you have to start developing a mindset where others are more important than self. Don't seek after your own. care more for others than yourself. Then you begin to see what the hard work that is in front of us. And you begin to see, of course, that this kind of love is never going to be a great fit in this world, because it wasn't meant just for this world. This kind of self-sacrificing love, this I'll scratch your back and then maybe you'll scratch mine, this isn't a strategy to make things better. It does, and it can, but this kind of love is really meant for making the world new. This is a tool for the future, and this is a tool for creating people who are created and are growing into the image of Christ. Which gets us to the second part. The second thing is, not only is there a difference between the means and the ends, and it's good to know which is which, it is also good to know the difference between what am I initiating and then what am I aligning. Because if all I'm being done when I read this passage is, boy, I need to grit my teeth, I need to work harder, I need to really bear down and do this, we're lost. Because once again, we've just put ourselves and our own efforts at the center. There is work to be done, but it begins by looking at the work that has already gone on, the love that has already been extended to us and is working in us, and to recognize that we are changed by love, with love, for love. That the end in mind has to do with a thriving humanity in a world that works, something larger than ourselves, a world that aligns with the will of God being done on earth, even as it's being done in heaven. And so we go back to some of the words of Lou Smeads when he says, before love obligates us, it enables us. I think that's an important distinction. That we're not just trying to conjure something out that's completely foreign to us. We're trying to align ourselves with that which is already at work in us. And boy, does this make a big difference. This is so important. Because sometimes the church, let's face it, sometimes the church has been the purveyor of this idea that you need to change in order that God will love you. You need to change in order to be more acceptable, to be able to be more loved back by God. But in fact, it is the love and the experience of love of God that enables change, that makes change desirable, that makes us even want to change. That's what Richard Rohr says, and I think he's spot on when he says this, when he says that the inherent engine of change is the experience of love. So yes, there's a lot of work, and this is tough. But before we talk about the work of love, before we talk about how do we put this into motion, we first stop and pay attention to the way that love is already at work in us. Love cares more for others than for self. Those are more than beautiful words. Those are marching orders. It is more than just something sentimental. That in fact, that 1 Corinthians 13 is a way, this tough love, this giving love, this agape love, this self-sacrificing love, is a way of making love more than sentimental, but it makes it truly a tool for the future. Eric Fromm is saying much the same thing when he reminds us that while love is in fact a gift, it is grace itself, it is what the world needs and longs for, it is also not something that is natural. It is something that takes discipline. It is something that takes practice. Love cares more for others than for self. It is not something that just falls upon you. It is something that we work on and work through. We are changed by love, with love, for love. Let me tell you a story of how I think this works. It's not a new story. It's an old story. We've told it before, of course. It has to do with Michelangelo and as he was carving this magnificent statue of David. And as people asked, how is it that you're going to go about this? How do you do this? And his great comment, and it apparently is real. It seems almost too good to be true to be real. But when he says, every block of stone has a statue inside it, and it's the task of the sculptor to discover it. In other words, the task of the sculptor is to see what is there and then to chip away everything that's not David, so that the true nature can emerge and be revealed. When we practice self-sacrifice, when we practice tough love, when we practice the love that puts others in front of ourselves, when we stop becoming the end in ourselves and begin to see our very life and all the gifts that we've been given as a means to something larger, when we begin to put that into practice, it is like the chip, chip, chip away of all those things that are there but aren't truly us. It is all the things that get in the way. It is all the things that want to claim who we are. But it is in self-sacrificing love. It is the practice of that where the true self emerges. And those things, and it hurts and feels like it's essential to who we are. But little by little, the true self truly begins to emerge. And we see that that wasn't us after all. Here's the other thing I believe. I believe it's not a matter of if, but only what will change us. There are things that will chip away. There are things that will shape us. And the only question is who's holding the chisel or what? Because yes, self-sacrificing love, and it has been used for great damage. And it has been used to keep people down, particularly when the chisel has something to do with guilt or it has something to do with shame, particularly when it is there at the hand of pride or for the sake of fear or security or ego. Then great damage is done. Great damage is done, but when it is held by the one who is already at work in us, the one who comes to us and is at work with love, and invites us to that same work, the work by love, with love, for love, then something begins to emerge. And all those things that we thought were essential to who we are begin to fall away. And what comes is this masterpiece, the true self, the self that is waiting to emerge. A while back, I have talked about the New Hope Way, and I haven't talked about it lately with everything else, but I want to come back to that, because this is the way that lives are shaped. And there's some practices in that so that the true self begins to emerge, the fruitful life and fulfilling life begins to emerge and become revealed in us. And there's a couple practices that I want to hold up. Now, you already know about gratitude. Gratitude is that practice that every day we practice it and we notice what God has done. And so we begin to come at where God is already at work in us so that we are able to see what God might yet want to do in us. Following gratitude, and what I want to hold back up for you, is that practice of just five simple daily acts of kindness, of sacrifice, of giving. And they are different for everybody. For some of us, we'll need to watch the words we use or the words we withhold. Or maybe it's the actions that we are or are not doing. Maybe it's the attitude that we bring and the way that we show up or don't show up on any given day. You'll know what it is because it's the kind of thing that feels like you're having to lose a little bit of yourself to do it. You're having to get yourself out of the center for the sake of somebody else or something else that's larger. It feels like a loss, but over time, it's gain. Because what we are gaining is our true self. The God person, the person God is trying to create in us through Christ. And then when we do that, those five daily acts, little by little, it begins to shape, it begins to form, it begins to reveal who we truly are meant to be. Then we begin to see how God is shaping us and using that to shape the world. Love. Agape, tough love, sacrificial love truly is the tool by which God is creating the future in us and for others. You know, the charge that's always here before us is love. Love God with everything you've got. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the same. Earlier this week, my wife Leanne found this and gave this, and it's I'd forgotten all about it, by William Sloan Coffin. And I said, I want to close with this. I want this to be our benediction today, because I think it gets to so much of who we are, so much of who God is still shaping in us. So let's go out with these words today. May God give you the grace not to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. The grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, too small for anything but love. Too small for anything but love. May God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. May God take your hands and work through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen. As you go, go with the peace of Christ. May that peace of Christ be with you. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. And now, church, may you go and love your neighbor as yourself, and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Go in peace.